Okay, today's daf ayin aleph. So we're going to start from daf ayin amid beis, the last line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah daf ayin amid beis. Ayin amid beis Mishnah says have beleshes. Beleshes means an army. Chayil. Look at Rashi. Rashi says chayil. Al shem. Why they call the beleshes? It's very good for the bedikas chametz. Shem chapshin v'chaytrin because they search. What are we doing today? We're searching for chametz. It's erev Pesach. You search with chametz l'arhaner, boitlis with arhaner, and chibush b'neiros with arhaner. So a belesh l'shem chibush shenichnas, so they come to the city b'shas shom when there's peace in the city. Chavios pesuchos asus with barrels. They come to the person into the house, and the minig olim is when the army comes into the city. The minig olim is you have to provide for the army. You have to provide for the army. You have to provide for them residence. You let them in your house. They have eminent domain. They come into your house and they live over there in the house.
Free run of the house.
Therefore, they go. They search around the house. They find barrels of wine that are open. So therefore, there's a real possibility that they open the barrels and they pour the yayin l'shem yayin nesach. So the yayin chavya is pesucha is asuras. Let's say the barrels of stumas. The barrels are sealed. In other words, you have sealed barrels. So therefore they did not have an opportunity to move to open the barrels because the barrels are sealed.
If they moved them, it's machnatos.
What?
If they moved it, it's machnatos. If they moved it.
What do you mean?
If they moved the barrels.
Yeah. Oh, so Heset. He's saying it should be Heset. Right.
So what's happening here? Beleshes, Jinnichnas,
oh, yeah. Wake up. All of a sudden, 2 minutes into the shiur, you wake up. I said, so over the Mishnah.
Yeah, because you said wake Rashi, up, wake up. Nothing to do with
Beleshes means an army.
Yeah.
Why is an army called the Beleshes?
Yeah.
So Raj Lashon of Chipush. Chipush means to search.
So an army that comes to the city at the time of peace.
There's no war. So that when there's no war, they're not busy killing people. So what do they do?
They're drinking.
They're going sightseeing. They're looking through your possessions. So the minute when an army comes into the city, the rule is that you have to provide for them meals, you let them bread and sleeping quarters.
Yeah, feed them also.
That's the rule. The rule is achsania. The rule is when the army comes into the city, you have to open up your doors and give them your bed and give them your food and let them roam around your house. And in your house, you have wine. They have wine, and the guy is running around the house, looking around your house because he has nothing to do, because he's not killing anyone, because there's no war. He's just here, just because there's nothing better to do. So then if he touches the wine in your cellar, all the wine will become yayin nesach. So the barrels are psuchos. If the barrels are open, then asuras. Stumas, the barrels are closed, mutaras. Why? If the barrels are closed, therefore you have a right to, they didn't touch it. So you ask me a question, maybe it's hesed. So yeah, I have to say the shot is a barrel is very heavy. It's not worth their while to go move the barrel. Okay, let's assume that to be the reason.
If we have closed bottles of wine in our own house today.
Yes.
How does that work?
So today we have closed bottles of wine. And the bottles of wine and stuff. We're going
because it's not an Indian amount of nesach. It's stam.
The answer is, but it should be tamei. It should be tamei than hesed. You're right, Nechanami. Wine that's tamei, mishum hesed, is tamei. But it's not also avodah zarah. Avodah zarah is only when the wine is exposed. Nisuch. Nisuch means the wine is exposed. Tumah, you're right. If a guy moves a bottle of wine, the wine is tamei, it's an avatumah, mishum hesed.
Hesed.
Stam Yenim is all tummy. Everything in the world today is tummy. And guess what? We're probably Zavim. The same way a Goy is a Zav, there's a real possibility that a Yid is a Zav, because we don't know what Ziva is. So therefore, Ziva is three missions within 3 days, consecutive days, makes a person to a Zav. We do not know what Zav is. Therefore, there's a real concern that we're Zav. And that's one of the reasons I said many times why we're not supposed to go on the Harbai, is because a Zav is worse than a tummy mace. A tummy mace has to go, puts me Gimel Machanois. And so a tamei mace is not allowed to be tamei azov. A zav is more chamor than a tamei mace.
How does a tamei zav get the harem?
A mikvah. It's 7 days. I'm sorry. He gets tired. He has to have zayin nikim and may mayon. A mikvah is not sufficient.
Mayon, but you tell me that tamei is more chamor than tamei mace.
A tamei mace means paradumah water.
It's
impossible to release oneself from paradum water, from tumas mace, but it is possible to release oneself from tumas ziva, but a person has to go through zayin nikiyim and has to go to a mayan. How many people today are nizer to go and examine themselves every second for 7 days and go into a mayan? So therefore, there's a real possibility that every year today is a tumas zav, and in tumas zav in echanami tumas zav. So everything we touch over here is tumas mishum hesed. But that's not the issue, because something which is tummy is mutter behana, yayin nesach is also behana. So if an army comes into the city and touches your wine, he comes in and touches your wine, and the wine, the barrels are sealed. If the barrels are sealed, then there's no concern that the guy touched one because he cannot go and break a seal. Okay, that's the heter of hechsher. There's a seal in the barrel, it's mutter. Okay, only the single seal. By meat, you have to have a simonim. Do not confuse a simon with a seal. Okay, when it comes to a meat, you have to have a simonim, a sign that it's kosher meat. A barrel or wine, you have to have a seal. A seal only needs one seal. Exactly. You just need to, that should be sealed. You have to have a seal, you know the guy did not break the seal. Next, Bishas Milchama. Let us say the guy enters into when there's a war going on. Therefore, the guy is busy fighting for his life. When the guy is busy fighting for his life, the guy does not have time to touch the yayin wine. Even the barrels of wine that are open, they do not have time to pour the wine l'shem avoy the zara. Frank the Gemara.
Obviously, the ones that are stumas. Before the ones that stumas,
it's just kasha. It's a good kasha. I know the answer. Yes, very good kashas. I don't know. Obviously, there's a diuk. And Rishon Zevul one day tell us the pshat. But I mean, we have a stira. Irsha kavshua karakoyim. A karakoyim means a siege. Okay, this is another vocabulary word. A karakoyim means an army has attacked and they have laid siege to a city, they have conquered, they have entered. So what is the halacha? The halacha we hear is kol kohana shebesecha psulas. All women who are married to kohanis are no longer permitted to their husband if they were not protected.
Who's karakoyim?
What a karakoyim is a siege. I said, karakoyim is an ear shekavshu that has been conquered by a karakoyim. A karakoyim is an army that lays siege to a city. You have an enemy, okay?
Is
Echa b'Yisurim? But we're going in the case. No, she's not Neman. She's not Neman. She's not Gabriel Gavra. She's not Neman. It's different. She was had Yichud. If a guy took all the women, they rounded up all the women. All women come with us. All women were rounded up. Okay, so a woman is kidnapped and is alone with the goya. So therefore, if she's okay, Hennes, the husband is not allowed to live with her. Why not? There's a real concern.
Usher.
Why? The real that the goy was born her. If a goy is born on an Ashes Kohen,
Usher
Labala. No, Asia says that. Then we ate her name and be soon to say that she was Nansa. She can say that she was Nansa. She can say nothing happened or she was Nansa and she's mother to her husband.
Which this is what it's talking about. We're
no, but okay, Hannes. Okay,
Hannes
is
Le Balein.
A woman.
All women who are
married to Kohanim are forbidden to their husbands. They must get divorced.
Right.
The halacha is...
But you just got to finish saying that...
A Yisraelis, why only are the wives of the Kohanim also Lebalein? Why? What about the wives of the Yisraelim and
Neman.
The Levim?
You said they're Neman, right?
Why are they Neman? They're only Neman to say that they were not Nivela L'Rotzayim.
Okay.
The only Neman to say that even in the event that we get a relation,
but an Einis is also by Kohanim.
Only by Kohanim, not by a Yisraeli. So it says over here, Kol Kohanim Shemnev Shemsecha B'Sus L'Sus. So what's the Kasha? The Kasha is there's a war. If there is a war, the same way we said in the previous staff that a guy does not have time to do Yayin Nesech, in the middle of a war, a guy does not have time to Shavisha. Everything goes outside, exactly. There's always room for dessert. They'll always find time to do znus, but Yayin Nesach, they couldn't care less. They don't believe it in themselves. It's just minig avos in the mail. That's why all the nashim are awesome. Vayter. Doesn't matter. Chazal will goyzer. If a goy touches wine, we have no idea why he touched the wine.
So over here
it's
also. Over here also, we don't have no idea.
Even if you it's hard to say there's no time to drink wine at night. You guys want to get drunk at night.
We're saying that the guy, when there's a shot,
he's trying to say he's trying to say that why shouldn't he have panay if he's a Baltaiva? He's a Baltaiva, wants to get drunk.
He's afraid for his life. There's a war going on. The Gemara is saying, and even if Itaka touches the wine, even if Itaka takes the wine for his taiva, he's not doing l'shem of the Zara. We can be certain that even in the event that he did touch the wine, he did not touch the wine l'shem of the Zara.
That Gemara didn't say that.
It's obvious. He does not have time.
What did the Gemara just say? Even if he touches, he doesn't have time.
That's what it means. That's what it means. It means livo geish tanai l'naseh. That's exactly what it means. Gesundheit. L'naseh ein tanai. It does into the kasha. Because for Yayin Neseh, they don't have time to do. Arayis is a time.
What's the steer of them?
It's too loud here. What?
What's the steer of
them? That's the answer. The Gemara is saying, there's no steer.
That's
a yes. Yes,
next,
let's.
What's so difficult to understand? It comes to Asia. There's a title.
That's the Gemara's answer. That is the Gemara's answer.
But they have a time to drink. They just have to touch. They don't have to do nothing.
But apparently over here, touching would not be a problem.
No, then today I'm taking trouble.
The Gemara in the Halim thought that they also have a taiva to do avodah zara. Yet when it comes to a war, they put aside their taivas for avodah zara and they focus on the war. That logic should be true when it comes to arayos. If you're going to be nishul with an isha, you're not focusing on the war and they can get killed very easily. The Gemara is saying no. The yetzahara for arayos is so strong, they're willing to put their life at risk to be nichshol in arayos. When it comes to avodah zara, they're not willing to put their life at risk.
But you think that now, with the war going on, they want to bring out the getchket night, and have to serve the getchket.
The Gemara is saying, no, that's exactly what the Gemara is. This is exactly what the Gemara is coming to teach us. The Gemara is coming to teach us that b'shas mulchama, a goy is not going to focus on arayos, but he will focus on women. That's okay. There's nothing more. I don't know more to say. Weiter. New halacha. Cholmanim shall yishol shesholach lachem ivuchav mulchav shall yain leskav v'schal. You have workers. You have workers of a Jew. Yiddish workers who are working, and now a craftsman, he sends them payment in lieu of cash. He sends them yayin nesach. Question is, what are the Jews allowed? What should the Jews do? So the Jew says to the guy, I refuse to accept payment of Yayin Nesach. It's also Bahana. A Jew is not allowed to have enough Yayin Nesach to live in a worker of Shal Yishol. Shashalach Lechav Shal Yayin Nesach B'schodan. Mutar Loimar. The Jew is allowed to say to the guy, listen, don't give me the Yayin Nesach. I have no value from it. You take your Yayin Nesach and you sell it in the market and give me cash. So what should be the prohibition? The Jew is still deriving benefit from the exchange of Yayin Nesach. So now when the guy comes the next day and brings cash, and the guy comes here, I don't have any cash. I'm giving you a bottle of wine instead. And wine is Yayin Nesach. So the Jew says, listen.
The Jew is working for somebody?
Yes, the Jew is working for the guy. The Jew is working for the guy. And the guy comes to pay. And he pays in wine, with a bottle of wine. And the Jew says to the guy, listen, I'm not allowed to drink your wine. It's not kosher. So therefore, you know what? I'll give you an idea. I'll give you an eitzah. He has an eitzah. Tells the guy, go to the store and sell the wine. And come back tomorrow and give me the money. So therefore, what's the problem? The bottom line is the Jew is now deriving benefit from the exchange of Yayin Nesach. So I would think that this is forbidden. Kamash, that it's mutter. Why is it mutter? Mutter loy, you're allowed to go tell the guy, tein loy westaneha. You're allowed to tell the guy, don't give me the wine, give me the money. Why? Because the wine has not yet come into the reshus of the Jew. The wine has not yet come into the reshus of the Jew. The wine is
even
in the...
If he knows in advance he's going to pay him with wine.
Exactly. Even though the guy presents...
If he knows in advance...
It doesn't matter.
It's already considered nichnas
b'reshusah. No, it's not. No, it's exactly... That's exactly the point of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the guy has a monetary obligation.
No.
That's the next part of the Mishnah. The next words. The Mishnah That's the next words. For the first part of the Mishnah, the guy has no obligation to pay. The guy has an obligation to pay cash. Now the guy wants to exempt his obligation. He wants to exempt his obligation by giving wine instead. So the Yid has a right to say, listen, that's not part of the deal. The deal is you owe me cash. You want to go and pay me with wine? That's not fair. So the Yid has a right to refuse to accept payment of wine. And now when the guy on his own, he takes the wine and he sells the wine and turns the wine into cash, that is not considered to be a violation. Okay, but let's say the Yid is, okay, I'll be a nice guy. I'll take the wine as payment. And then the Jew realizes, he learns the daf, you're not allowed to have anah from Yayin Esach. Okay, so once it comes into his rishus, it's too little, it's too late. Mishnichnas the rishus, and once the wine comes into his rishus, it's too little, too late. Allah is that it's going to be awesome.
But even if it comes into his rishus, yes, then stipulate in advance that's how he's going to get paid. It's not considered. Even if it went into his chosim, we say chosish oldem skayna. But this would not be considered.
I understand.
Let's say he did not stipulate in advance to get paid.
Right,
he did not.
That's exactly the case. He did not, but he accepted it.
The guy put it in his chutzah.
No, that's nothing. Yeah, okay. You have no rishus for my chutzah. I gave you permission. If not, that will stop the deal. And once the Jew says, I accept, once he accepts, he's accepted Yayin Nesach as payment. Now the Yayin Nesach is the property of a Jew. Yayin Nesach, that is the property of a Jew, is also behana.
And now.
But he has to agree to accept it.
Okay,
okay.
There's a misnomer. Fine.
It's a misnomer.
You have to
look
deeper into it and see what's really going on.
Omar, now we go.
Also, then he finds out, then it's on.
No. That means he accepts it. Doesn't just mean.
He realizes it's
Yayin
Nesach. He says, okay, I accept it.
I accept. But once he accepts it, then he changes his mind. It's too little, too late. Once the Jew accepts the Yayin Nesach as payment, and the Yayin Nesach is not...
wasn't aware.
No, then it's not. Then in Echnam, if he was not aware, then it's Megach Tois. I never accepted this. But once he is aware that this is Yayin Nesach, he does not know the Halacha, he forgets the Halacha, and he takes the wine to his Rishus as payment, now it's his property, Yayin Nesach as Bahana. Now there's nothing that can be done, the wine has to be destroyed, and there's nothing you can do against the guy.
You need to give it back and to sell it.
Too late, because then like giving it back, then you exchange, you're getting handoff from Yayin Nesach. I want you to appease the government. Chafetz means pius. Pius. Lashon of pius. Chafetz pay samach pius. I owe the king taxes.
You mean a yid says to a guy?
Yes. This yid says to a guy, I owe the king tax. Do me a favor. You're a friend with the guy. I want you to appease the guy. And how does the guy appease? How does the guy appease the governor? And the governor, this yid is in trouble with the state. He's in trouble with the governor. He owes the governor money. And the guy, and he says to his friend who is a guy, do me a favor, you know the governor, he's your best friend, go to the governor and do something to get me out of trouble. And the guy goes to the governor and he brings him a bottle of wine as payment, as a bribe, so to speak.
Bottle of
Yayin Nesach. So now it comes out, the only reason why the Jew is off the hook is because of Yayin Nesach. So the question is the Jew really off the hook? Do we say the Jew now, he owes taxes, he has to go pay the taxes anyway because he's not allowed to write benefit from Yayin Nesach. The guy, this Yid, who has a friend who is a guy, he has done a toiva for the Yid by giving Yayin Nesach.
So again, the key point is it didn't come into his rishos, that's why it's water.
So the key point, no, it's not the key point here. The key point over here is that I never told my Goyisha friend the way you should appease the governor is bidafka with Yayin Nesach. I asked my friend, the non-Jew, do me a toiva, appease the governor, and that means give him cash.
Yeah, but here in the Mishnah, he did say, use the
Yayin
Nesach.
No, he did it. He did not. Where does it say that? Where are you reading? Where are you reading? Look at the Mishnah. Say, Omar, Mutar, Adam, Loimar. Read the words of the Mishnah. Read the words. One more time. Omar, read the Marab.
No,
what are you talking about? The Mishnah was a good. The money never came to his Rishos. That's a different case. The case in the Mishnah is entirely.
If it didn't come into his Rishos, we say it's Mutar. Right?
Why?
What is the case? What is the case?
The guy owes cash.
I know.
Yeah.
But the Yid is telling him, don't give me the Yayin Nesach. Sell it instead and give me the money.
Smutter.
Right.
Why? Because the wine.
So it's the same. Why,
no, but it's more because you do not have the arrangement, the business arrangement between me and you was you're going to give me cash. And now you're trying to take off your obligation by giving me Yayin Nesach. No. I don't want to accept Yayin Nesach as the choiv. You owe me cash.
Right.
You're trying to get out of the obligation by giving me Yayin Nesach. Right. I refuse to do so. I refuse. That's not what the arrangement was. You have Yayin Nesach, so you can, if you want, you can take your Yayin Nesach and you can sell, turn into cash, and give me the cash. Because I never...
So that's not similar to this case?
No, it's similar, but yeah. It's an entirely different case. It's similar, but it's different. The case over here is, there's a Jew, and the Jew has trouble with the governor. The governor says, Jew, you owe taxes. You have a shibu to the government. And the Jew says, I'm in trouble. He calls up his friend, who is a friend of the governor, and he says, do me a favor, go to the governor and speak to the governor on my behalf. Do something. Give him money. Give him a bribe. Or do something in order to release me from my obligation. And the guy, the Jew, goes to the guy, who's the Jew's friend, he goes to the governor, and he brings the governor a bottle of wine. A bottle of Yayin Nesach. And the governor is so overwhelmed by the delicious Yayin Nesach, he says, okay, the Jew is free to go. So the problem now is the Jew has been then, he has been released from his obligation because of Yayin Nesach. Because when I ask my friend the guy to do me a toiva, I never told him, give him wine. I told him, do something. He could have very well given him cash. He could have given the governor cash. He could have given the governor some good food. Why did he on his own, he chose to give the governor Yayin? That's his business. That's not my business. Menela, we do not attribute the Yayin Nesach. We don't see that the Yayin Nesach is what's giving you benefit. We say that the cash value of the Yayin Nesach, which is something which is entirely different, is giving you benefit.
The one
with the words. One with the words. A Jew's last say to a guy, say, I want you to go. You go. V'chafes olai.
Appease the king.
Appease the king. Menas means the portion of the king, which means taxes. The portion. Do not say to a goy, oil tachtai le'oitzer. Oitzer means ato oitzer ba'ami. With an ayin, ayin means a ruler. An ayin, ato, who does it say about? It says about one of the Nevi'im. You shall rule. Oitzer means to rule, to be a leader. So the oitzer, you enter in my place to the oitzer. The oitzer means the ruler. Zayatzer ba'ami. So if it's an ayin, it means you will rule my people. You will gather them in. It's an expression which means to be a leader. Therefore, we have a goy, and you go tell another goy, do me a favor, you go in my place. I have a meeting with the king. I have a meeting. I have been summoned. I have an audit. The IRS has ordered me. So I have to now go meet with the king. So I tell this fellow, I sign off, what's it called? You sign a power of attorney. Power of attorney. I sign over to you, you're me. You fully represent me. And the guy goes to the king, and the guy fully represents this person, and he says, okay, what do we owe? We owe taxes. I have over here a case of Yayin Nesach, delicious wine. Take it. This should be the payment. This should be the payment for the duty, the taxes that I owe you. And it says here that it's osur. So have a stira. We just go one moment ago. You go tell the guy, I have the menas melech, and you tell the guy, go do something for me, and the guy goes, decides to give Yayin Nesach mutter. So therefore, I've been released my duty. It's mutter because I never told my friend to give Yayin Nesach. I told him what? I told him do something. He chose, and this price is pum fakert.
Oil,
enter. Oil means enter. Tachtai, in my place. To the ruler, to the king.
So what's the problem? Represent me, man.
Represent, and then how does he represent him? He represents him by giving the king Yayin Nesach.
But it doesn't say this is a brazen.
That's the Pshad the Braisa. That's correct. Ol tachtai le'oitzer, enter my place to the king. What is Allah? Rav. Ol tachtai le'oitzer. So this is the verb, that's the kasha. We have a stira. So we have here a stira between these two Braisa. The first Braisa that we just learned says that it's mutter. That if you tell the guy, do me a time to go help me. And the guy helps you by giving Yayin Nesach. And you're released from your obligation. Mutter. And the second Braisa by Lo'itzer says also have an open contradiction. And for the Gemara here, it says, not a kasha, the Gemara says, Rav, Ol tachtai Lo'itzer ka'amrit. The case of Ol, you ask me a kasha, Ol, Ha lo'i dami el lo'ha, our sugi is el lo'ha, Avol oimoloi malteini min Lo'itzer. Save me from the oitzer. In other words, it's a nuance of expression. When you appoint a guy to be your representative and you give him the power of attorney, he's you. He's me.
There's no shlichus by Akum.
Even though there's no shlichus by Akum, that is correct. There is no shlichus by Akum, but you're right. He is a very good point. How Kein Torinu Gam Atem Ma Atem Bnei Bris. So too your messenger shall be a Bnei Bris. You're right. There's no shlichus by Akum. Very good. But there's still a difference. If you point a guy to represent you, whatever he does is amamish you. And therefore, if he gives wine, it's as if you have given Yayin Esach and you are deriving benefit. In the first case of Al Gemara, when it says the Menas Melech, he is not representing you. He's your lawyer.
Save me.
He's not in my power.
A little distance between you
exactly.
And...
Exactly. Because, listen, I'm in trouble. Speak to him. Maybe you can speak. You're not my representative. You're an outsider who's coming to the king to just put in a good word for me. But you don't really represent me. You don't have power of attorney. What you say has no power on my bank account, so you don't represent me. So that's where I didn't tell you to give him Yayin. I told you to speak to him. If you chose to go and influence the king,
in either case did he mention Yayin?
Either case. But in the second case, when you say Ol Tachtai, it means you are me. I'm giving you power of attorney.
To give and to do anything, including giving the Ayin Esa.
Exactly. So whatever you do is Kilu, I gave the Ayin Esa. Okay?
Because Lechera, he came with the Ayin Esa in tow. You came with the wine.
It doesn't matter. I didn't tell
him
this.
I gave it to him. How did he get it?
No, you didn't give it to him. What did he give it to him?
How did he get it?
He took it from his own property.
His own property.
Yeah.
His own Yain
Esa. Yeah, of course. Of course.
So that's the why is it even shallow that I can have? I know from the...
All tachtai.
I gotta pay him afterwards first.
No. I don't have to pay the taxes.
He's getting you off the hook.
I got off the hook.
So the girl used his own yayin nesach
to get you off the hook.
What should be the issue with that?
I still have to pay the taxes no matter what. I owe $1,000 in taxes. The guy went to the king and gave him did something, and now I'm exempt.
That's the first case.
So it says in the first case that it's mutter.
And why should he usher?
Because the second case, he's not...
Why should be us in the first case?
Because you're deriving benefit with Yayin Esach. The bottom line is... Even though it's not your Yayin Esach.
Have to pay the guy for it.
No, you don't have to pay the guy for it. No, you don't.
Why would the guy give the king?
He likes me, because he's my friend. He's my friend. The guy is my friend. The guy, I did him tovus. I did him more tovus than he did for me. I did him more tovus. I'm his next door neighbor. I was good to him. So he wants to reciprocate. How does he reciprocate? He gives the guy Yayin Esach. So now that I get a letter from the king, you don't have to pay $1,000 in taxes. Why? Because your friend spoke to me. Your friend gave me a gift. That means that I now am exempt from $1,000 because of Yayin Esach. So I should say to the king, no, thank you. I'm not interested in your time. This is the $1,000. I'm not allowed to do a benefit from Yayin Esach. Now, Loch is mutter. Why is the mutter? I never told my friend that the technique that you should use to represent me is bedafka to give Yayin Esach.
She says it clearly, yeah.
But let's say the cases where I don't just tell my friend to go speak and put in a good word for me. I go and I sign documents. I'm just giving you an example where I give him power of attorney. Power of attorney means that if the guy wants, he can go to my bank accounts and say, okay, you're right, king, I'm going to pay $1,000. I'm going to pay $500. I give him full rights. All tachtai, enter in my place. Oh, he fully represents you. And he has chosen to use Yayin Esach to free you from your obligation. That means that you are deriving benefit from Yayin Esach, and you're not allowed to have that benefit. Whatever benefit he provided, it doesn't matter. That's exactly the point. The fact that he's all tachtai, the fact that he's a full...
Malteni
means you're not my representative. You're nothing. You're a nothing.
Just save me.
Just do me a taiva.
And the Yayin Esach that he's using by now.
He chose himself. That's his business. That was his technique.
And also doing you the favor. Nothing. He's not going to pay back this guy.
No, you're not paying back. The bottom line is, I am deriving benefit from Yayin Esach.
Because he never told him how.
I never told
him. But let's say, on the other hand, let's say in a scenario, he tells a guy, save me, give him Yayin Esach.
Oh.
You still have to pay back.
Okay, Vaita, next Mishnah. Now we're starting a sugi bavakama. This mamish a sugi that's plucked out of the pages. Hurry us. This is a sugi that is plucked out of the sugi, pages of Bava Metzia, and mamish is unbelievable. Hashoch, the person learning this today is because Tomorrow is Wednesday night. Thursday night is Mechiras Chametz. You have to, how do you sell Chametz to a guy? How does the Rav sell the Chametz of a Yid to a guy? Hello? How does the guy sell the Chametz to a guy?
So you have,
how does the Rav sell the Chametz of all the Yidin to the guy? Now when it comes to a Yid, how do you make a kinyan by a Yid? Meshicha. You can give all the money in the world. The property is not yours until the person, the buyer actually does meshicha.
Which is why they make you.
Or you do. You make it. You have to make a kin. You have to make a difference of kin. By a yid, if a Jew pays for something, all the money in the world. If you have diamonds, precious stones, and I give you $1 million, do I own the stones?
No.
What?
Something happens to them.
If something happens to them, the stones disappear in the middle of the night, so you give back the money. You must give back the money. And therefore, the only way a Jew can acquire property from another Jew is through Meshicha. I have to go and take it into my Rishus, even if I don't pay you. I don't give you one penny. I take it into my Rishus, and the understanding is the Mechira, I owe you the money as a loan. I owe you the money. A guy, we don't say that. A guy, generally speaking, a guy, there's no king Meshicha. A guy is king in Kesef. There's a fundamental difference the way you acquire property from
the
guy.
Why
is that? Why? Because Chazal, Shema, it's not for that. Shema, Yisru, Chitecha, Baliyah. Chazal did not want Yidden doing business with Goyim. The Bedavka wanted to make the Jews suffer. And I'm not mistaken, I might be wrong, but I remember in my mind. Chazal did not want Yidden to do business with Goyim. And therefore, what's the danger? Why is it that when it comes to a Yid, Chazal said that Kesef does not work? Because Shema, Yisru, Chitecha, Baliyah. Let's say I give you $1 million. And all of the precious stones are in the attic and some in a barn. And then it's 3:00 in the morning, and you look outside and you see the barn is burning. The barn is on fire, and the property is going to be destroyed in a few moments. Are you going to get out of your bed? Is a person going to get out of their bed to go to the barn and save the property? You'll say, no, I got my money. I already got my money. And it's not my property anymore.
But doesn't necessarily mean you're bringing it into your own rishus.
It doesn't matter.
It up.
Fine, but that's normally
so
what it means.
So you can pick it up and leave it in the guy's rishus.
Okay, that's foolish. That's foolish. Who do that? Once you're picking it up, you're taking delivery. That's okay. That's a strange case. But if you're just going to say that Kinyan Kesef works, then since the property is still in the possession of the other party of the seller, what is going to happen? If the property is in jeopardy, will the seller be Moiser Nefesh to save the property on behalf of his fellow Yid? No. Why? What do I care? The money's in the bank. The property belongs to him. He's a fool. He never took possession. It's his problem. In order that a person should not have that attitude, Chazal said, even if I give him all the money, it's not mine yet. It's still his property. And therefore, if
give me an example with a guy.
Let's talk about the Yid first. We have to first take the case of a Yid. The case of a Yid is very quickly. The Yid, let's say there's grain. Take our case, grain. Yid A wants to buy $1,000 worth of grain. And he gives him $1,000. Now, let's assume for the moment that Kesef works. The moment that the Yid receives $1,000 in payment, who owns the grain? Who owns the grain? The buyer. Reuven is the buyer. Shimon is the seller. When Reuven gives Shimon $1,000, who owns the grain? Reuven's. Where is the grain, though? Where's the grain?
It's still by Shimon.
It's still by Shimon. Let's say there's a fire in the middle of the night. Will Shimon be Moiser Nefesh to put out the fire? Will Shimon get out of his bed to go put out the fire? What do you think? The grain is in the possession of Shimon.
Because he doesn't want his house to burn down.
No, it's not in his house. It's in the silo. His house is not going to burn down. I couldn't care less. It's Reuven's. But it's in your house. I don't care. So it's in my house. What do I care? I got the money ready. I got $1,000. I'm laughing all the way to the bank.
Do I care?
The barn, right? The barn we don't care. He doesn't care about his barn. That's right. The barn is out there. He doesn't care about the barn. The barn is fireproof. So the grain will burn, but not the barn. I don't care about it. The next morning, what happens? Reuven says, okay, I'm here in my truck. He brings a tractor trailer. I'm taking delivery of the grain. I'm sorry, Reuven, it burned down last night. Oh, really? All the grain burned down last night? Give me back my money. Sorry, you're not getting back the money. It was a final sale, no refunds. But I never took possession. Yeah, okay. It's your tough luck. You didn't take possession, too bad for you. You own it. It's your property. So why did you burn up out of the fire? I was tired. I had a long day.
A guy will definitely what? Not put out the fire then.
What?
A guy will definitely not
exactly,
put out the fire.
Exactly, exactly.
No, a guy.
Oh, exactly. And what the Chazal say was not jump steps yet. So what the Chazal say? Chazal say, we do not want this scenario to ever happen. So what do they say?
With a yid another year?
Another year. We don't want a yid another year to have what is they say differently. If I give you $1,000, it doesn't matter. It's still yours.
It's still Shimon.
It's still Shimon. And the mail, if there's a fire mail, that what's going to happen?
Even if he gave the money.
I gave
Shimon. So means he has to
take delivery.
Oh, but again, he could be...
Wait, let's not skip steps here. Wait, 1 second. So I gave you the $1,000, and now it's the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Is Shimon going to go and put up the fire in the middle of the night? Is Shimon going to put up the fire in the middle of the night?
Also not.
Well, sure, he will. Because if Shimon does not put up the fire in the middle of the night, then what's going to happen the next day? Reuven's going to say, well, where's my grain? Burnt down, so he's giving back my money. Does Reuven get the money back?
No.
He does.
There's no Mashiach.
Exactly why. Because there was, since Chazal said we're not going to go on Kiruv or Kes, excuse Mashiach, and since there was no Mashiach, so who owns the grain?
Shimon owns the grain.
Shimon owns the grain. So therefore, Shimon has the money.
The seller.
Yeah. But Shimon has the money. He got the money.
Oh, he has to give back the money.
Yeah,
but in a case where you're picking up grain, let's say there's a ton of grain, very shayach, you're not going to be able to, on every given time, schlep the whole ton of grain.
No,
you're going to leave it by the guy.
You do Mashiach, Chazal, they only go that far. They do the best that they can. And therefore, Mashiach solves the problem most of the time. Now, when it comes to a guy, Chazal said, you know something?
The buyer takes possession.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
The buyer takes possession. Now, when it comes to a guy, Chazal by a guy, we like
it. But what happens if he has it delivered? Shimon has it delivered to Reuven's house.
Reuven must take possession. Then he has possession. Now, Chazal, what about a guy? Let's say the same thing. Chazal, we like it the first way around. We like the why, but the guy is not going to want to get middle of the night. And put the fire. So Chazal said, "That's right. Very good. Taka, let Kesef work, and let the guy not put out the fire, and let the Jew come the next morning and say to the guy, where's my grain? Sorry, buddy, it burned down last night. Give me back the money then. I'm a guy. A guy is kind of with Kesef. It's not fair." So the guy comes to Bez, the guy comes to Bez and says, Rabbanim, Sanhedrin, what do you do to me? When it comes to a Yid, you protected me. When it came to a guy, you didn't protect me. So the Rabbanim say to him, it's right, we didn't protect you.
If they wanted to, they could just say, don't you're not allowed to do business with the guy.
The Rabbanim said, we're not protecting you. So they said to the Rabbanim, why don't you protect me? Because we don't want you doing business with a guy.
So they could answer and do business with a guy.
No, they don't want, because the world relies, because we need to do business with a guy. We do need to do business with a guy. But when you have a choice.
They're trying to discourage
it. Exactly. Okay?
So the guy knows this halakha.
Take advantage. Exactly. So therefore, what's the bottom line? The bottom line is, Mashiach works by a yid, and Kesef works by a guy. This Nageya, halakha lemaisa, in 2 nights from tonight. When all the Rabbanim are going to do 2 days in the airplane, they sell the chametz to the guy. What Kenyan do you use?
Kesef.
Mashiach is not going to work. There's no Mashiach.
They do
seven Kenyanim. They do Kenyan Agav. They do Kenyan Kesef. They do Kenyan. They do Kenyan.
Agav
is a whole process. You do Agav. It's a whole process. Nothing else. And then they do Simtusa. And they do what they do.
What's the third one?
Simtusa. Different techniques. A lot of techniques. Just to make sure the guy. There are seven techniques that we do with the guy to make sure, just in case one transaction for whatever strange region does not work, we have a backup plan. There are another six transactions to make sure that the chametz is transferred to the guy.
So who gives the kesef?
The guy gives the kesef.
Is there a certain amount, a minimum?
He gives a deposit.
I mean, any amount?
$1, a deposit.
$1.
A deposit, and the rest is a loan.
He wants it after Yom Tov.
He has to pay the deposit. He owns it, but he has to pay the deposit.
So, you know, something did be in case where the guy says, me, I want
to. So he has to pay the deposit, he has to pay the balance. Okay, we know that, but he has to pay the balance. So this is a sugi to
the. And then later on, you give the deposit back, obviously.
No, then you tell the guy, yeah, you tell him, listen,
I have to pay.
If you don't want to pay the deposit, I'll buy it back from you. You don't want to pay the balance.
Oh.
The guy gives a down payment.
And
the Rabbanim say, after Pesach, we're going to appoint experts. They're going to go through the list. They're going to go to every single person's house, and they're going to make an evaluation.
You're telling this all to the guy?
Yes. Right now, we don't know how much the chametz is worth. It may be worth $10,000. It may be worth $5,000. Some people may have stock, General Mills, and maybe it's maybe they have who knows millions of dollars in stock of Hummus products. They own who knows what they own. Maybe the guy multi-millionaire.
So the guy is doing a Kenyan here. He has no idea what he's buying.
He does.
He has no idea how much.
You tell them this is the deal. We're giving you a good deal here. You can make a down payment of $10, and when the holiday is over, we're going to appoint experts. We're going to go through documents. We're going to go through every single person. We're going to go to their house. We're going to open up their computer. We're going to see what they sold, and we're going to make an evaluation. And then we're going to have a tally the number. It'll come out. Who knows?
Anybody? What happens after Pesach? What happens?
So then they say, well, it's now, you call the guy in, it's now part to, it's time to proceed. Tomorrow, we're going to hire professional evaluators, appraisers, and they're going to go and we're going to make the evaluation like we agreed, and you're going to pay. And you're going to pay. No, the guy was interested before Pesach.
No, after Pesach. So
the guy is not going to change his mind after Pesach. Why should he change his mind after Pesach?
So then what happens?
So the rabbi says, you know, maybe you have a change of heart. Maybe you don't want.
But if he doesn't,
that's an old shaila. It doesn't matter if it's armor or not. It works.
But
it's a legal transaction.
And if the guy insists on going through with the transaction,
yeah.
So believe me. If you're selling chametz to the guy, I guarantee you, you're very happy. What do you have in your house? A box of Cheerios? What would you rather have? $5 or an old, stale box of Cheerios?
Yes.
What would you rather have? Some old bottles of liquor or their cash value? I guarantee you, every person who's selling chametz to a guy, we're very happy. You can have the liquor and give me the cash value. Stocks. You have that's a chumrah. It's an extreme chumrah to sell stocks. You have to sell stocks in a company. It's not really. You have to do that. It's not really right. Stocks is not. It's not. It's not. It's not a chumrah. Stocks is an extract value.
Is it also necessary to tell them where the chumrah is?
Lechatchila, yes, so but you have to know.
They just say, where do you live?
You don't have to. Lechatchila, it's a hider, but you don't have
by
to.
By stocks, it's only because you have such a small percentage. You don't control.
No,
you're not
stocks.
Come here after Pesach. I want to go.
You're not controlling the voting.
No, whatever. It's not. So tell the guy, do you want to continue? And then you tell him, well, listen, you know what? How about we call it quits? I'll give you back your deposit and we'll cancel the transaction. Of course, it's important for the brother. That's what he's doing. My father used to do this because for 20 years he used to do this.
Where do you find Goyim that'll go through this whole thing?
They do. They first make money on it. The first year they don't know what's going on, they get scared. Then when it's over, they realize they made money on the deal. Before you start the transaction, the Rav, I want to give you a present. I like you. You're a nice guy. Lo Sechonim, right? Lo Sechonim. Here's $50. What? For the purpose of Mechiras Chametz Olah. That's not called Lo Sechonim.
They give the guy money.
Of course they give him money.
No, usually they give a present afterwards.
No, before, because you have to... You need...
I saw Rav Shmuel gave it afterwards.
He needs money to make the down payment. The way my father...
You give him the money and then he gives it back to you?
He gives only part of it back to you.
Part of it, and he keeps the rest.
I want to give you a present.
No, he gives it. He puts down the down payment.
Let me explain. The guy comes into the room. Thank you so much for helping us out over here. Passover. Thank us. Thank
you.
Before the Mechira. I want to give you a present. I want to give you a scarf, a handkerchief, because you also make him younger. I want to give it to Caleb. Caleb Shulkainer. You give him a scarf. You give him a handkerchief. You give him. And I also want to give you, here's $100. A gift. You were so kind to come here, sitting over here. All Lo Sechonim. No, it's not loyal because you need to give him the money in order for your own benefit. Okay, then you start the transaction. Okay, we go explain. I want a down payment. I think $20 would be a fair down payment.
So he gives you 20 of the 100 that he gave him and he keeps 80.
Yeah. Okay, and then when Pesach is over, you know what? I'll give you back your down payment. I'll give you back the down payment.
He doesn't show up.
What?
He doesn't show up.
Yeah.
At this in the state. Not so young.
No, they don't make that stipulation. My father made that stipulation.
That's a problem also.
They don't show up. Rav Moshe says that if the guy is late to show up to cancel the transaction, or even you're allowed, when Pesach is over, you're immediately allowed to use your chametz, eat your chametz. What, and the Mela, the understanding, you have to make this tonight, in the great, whatever the balance is, we'll just deduct from the balance. It's your chametz. It's the goy's chametz. It's the goy's chametz. In the event the yid steals the chametz, mitzvah Pesach. The yid, I got to eat my Cheerios. Mitzvah Pesach. The second Pesach is over. Before the yid, the rav buys it back. So the goy, the yid basically steals the Cheerios.
So how is that?
So you make a tonight. It's in the shtar. You make a tonight. You say in the event that the yid takes the chametz that I just sold to you, you should not view it as a violation to the degree that the transaction is null and void. Cancel. Because normally, if you know you violate a transaction, it's null and void. You have to agree that if a yid takes...
Well, what would happen if it was null and void? Then what happens?
Then the yid has the mafreya.
What if the guy never shows up and takes off?
Don't drop. Is even no, because then the transaction was never a transaction.
If you see it, you find it.
It's in your shoes. It's in your house. You have the chametz. So you tell the guy in the event that the yid after Pesach or even during Pesach, he decides he wants his Cheerios and he doesn't come to you and he asks you permission and he eats the Cheerios. Do not view that act of taking your Cheerios and eating it as an act, a criminal act, which negates, shows that the transaction was insincere and the whole transaction is null and void.
But rather you deducted.
But rather, he has taken you, eating your Cheerios, that's right, he has done something wrong, and it's just that you will just owe us less. Instead of owing that you $5, you owe him $4.85.
Now what happens if the guy never comes back?
The guy never comes back.
He dies right after the other
guy. He goes to the Yarshim. It goes to his Yarshim. You got to call up his children.
Really?
He's always a Yarsh. He's always a Yarsh.
He doesn't mean that he's a single guy.
He doesn't mean Yarsh. He has a good father. Every person has a Yarsh. Even the guy has a Yarsh. The only one that does not have a Yarsh is the Ger.
And what happens to me that he doesn't die, but he just takes off?
So he takes off. So what?
Then you got stuck with the...
So it's his chametz. So let's say. He owes us the money.
Are you allowed to use it without flipping around?
In this situation, in this situation, yeah. Because what are you supposed to do over here in this situation? Yeah. Oh, it's a very good shaila. If he converts, he has the problem because he's now a yid, and he has now in his possession chametz. No. The Gemara said before, a guy that converts, his money goes with him. It's not true. A guy that converts, his assets come with him. It becomes legal possession. So if a guy converts on Pesach, a guy converts on Pesach, why not? A guy comes to Bez Pesach and he does Tzilu Mila. And the guy has in his possession of Chametz. So the moment he converts, he's able to Yomotze. The Ershta Aveir he did, Gvaldik.
No, but it doesn't belong to him because once you convert, you're a new person. You're not the same person from before.
Gersh, no, you don't say that. Now when it comes to Mammon, it's only within Bin Arayas. Gersh, Niskayer, Kikotan, Shenela, Adami, Bin Ogea, Arayas. Not Bin Ogea, monetary possession.
Didn't we say after Chatzos, the Torah does...
Took out Yerushus.
He didn't know, but the Torah took it out,
you cannot be Mevatalit. Wow. The Torah to get out of your reshus, it's too late for you to battle, but it's still in your reshus to be even Bali Bali Matze. It's still in your reshus to be Bali Bali Matze. Once the Chachat says, you know the Koyach to battle it. But it's in
you're right.
So what happens? So maybe he's over.
This is not a shir on the Mechiras
Chametz. So he's over.
You got to come to the Koyal for that. That we did already. Now we're learning over here in the Avodah Zarah. Let's go right in the Gemara. My father was over to my father. That was the last thing my father was like, I did it. My father did it twice. He did it at night and he did it during the day.
He did
Mechiras Chametz. People live in Eretz Yisrael. The people that live in Eretz Yisrael, they have to sell in advance. Because there were many Balabatim who have assets in Eretz Yisrael. Or they go into Eretz Yisrael. And they come to the rabbi, I want to sell my Chametz in Eretz Yisrael. Pesach starts 7 hours earlier. If you can wait until the morning to Mechiras Chametz, it's already too late. They already have Pesach already started for them sometimes, or it's already in the afternoon. So you have to make a special Mechira for the people who have assets in Eretz Yisrael. You have to make a special Mechira early.
Or anywhere, any country.
Yeah. So my father used to do it twice. My father was very, very sick, and he told me, this year you're going to do it. You can do the Mechira. And I did it. I did it at night. I did the Hayyad Haka, the Daf Yomi.
You did it?
I did it, yeah. I did
Why couldn't he do it?
What? He was sick. He was in the hospital. Oh. He was very, very sick.
Everybody tested for Rebbe David, no?
Not my father. My father did it himself. My father, what do you mean everyone does?
Who said do? Sell the Rebbe and sell it to Rebbe Hillel.
Because they don't know how to do it.
So, whatever the reason is.
So when your father became ill, you took over?
That year. So that year. So I did, because I used to watch my father. My father had his own star. He wrote his own star in English. His own technique. The father went
copyright.
To
copyright.
And he went to Rav Moshe. He went to Rav Nissen Alper. In the early years of the Lord, he went to Rav Nissen Alper.
Was he before Rav Moshe?
Rav Nissen Alper. Rav Moshe was all of the Rabbanim in New York City in the early years went to MTJ, to Rav Moshe, and they put on the table shtaris all the way up to the sky. And Rav Nissen Alper sat in the presence. Rav Moshe was already too old. He was already very weak and schwach. Rav Moshe sat there, and Rav Nissen Alper ran the show, and he did the nechira to the guy in the presence of Rav Moshe Feinstein and all the rabbanim of the entire New York City who came to watch, including my father. And my father watched Rav Nissen Alper do it all the years. Then Rav Moshe was nifter. Rav Nissen Alper was nifter. And my father saw, I'm going to do it myself. I know I watched this so many times, I can do it myself. It's very complicated. You have to do 7 kinyanim. Whole technique.
The guy?
That's what they do. The minig is they do 6-7 kinyanim to make sure, just in case one kinyan does not work, then there should be another kinyan that works. You want to be sure. You're dealing with value or value matzah. Just in case kinyan kesef doesn't work, why not? Maybe whatever, there's a problem, we do another kinyan. My father couldn't do it, so I did it. And then I was all ready to do it the next morning. I went to Davin Shachas, Chaim Berlin. I was Davin Shachas, and I was all ready to go. I had an appointment to go with the guy with the AF of Aden. And a bezdin also, we had a bezdin. My father chumar. He'd be like, we have a bezdin also. You don't need a bezdin. You have two witnesses, and then you have to also have a bezdin. It's a bezdin also in the presence of a bezdin. And when Aaron Willis had to go, and I got a phone call from my mother, I should come to the hospital immediately. So I took all the shtaris, and I went with Aaron Carr. I have all the shtaris of Aaron Carr. I said, I have an emergency. I have to go to the hospital. Can you please take all the shtaris that I have from my father's shul? I have to go to Sullivan. Yep, Aaron Carr. I went to Aaron Carr, and I gave him the shtaris, and I went to the hospital. And then, Mitzoy Shah, then of Aaron Carr, he doesn't do it. He gives it to, what? Yeah, he doesn't do it.
Aaron never sells Khamer?
Aaron Carr? He takes all of the shtaris and gives it to someone else.
Khan?
Yeah.
Who did he give it to?
I don't know. I think it's Rav Hill David. I don't know. Aaron Carr is Mechun. This is Mechun. Rav Hill David is Mechun. Aaron Carr is Mechun. And so then in the shul they found out. In the shul.
You can go to watch it by Rabbi
Hill. If today is Yom Tov.
And then.
I
have no idea.
A lot of people go.
I have no idea. Okay, and then the Balabatim, they asked who did the Mechira.
So the Maisa, you never went through it, you never sold the Chametz.
I did at night for the Israelis.
Oh, but by day, oh, I got it.
The day, I didn't do it. So by day, then Balabatim found that I did it. I didn't do it. So they were chosh, what do I do with the shtaris? So my father was nifter on the first day of Pesach. So they told him that I gave it to Rabbi Khan. So then they wanted to know, can they eat the chametz immediately? Because my father always told them that the way I do the mechira is like Rav Moshe did the mechira, which allows you to eat the chametz immediately after Pesach because of this Tanai. The tonight I just this night the Pesach does not constitute a violation in the annulment of the mechira, and the guy will just deduct the value of the Cheerios. But did you also make that tonight? I don't know because I don't do the mechira, and the one who does the mechira, I don't know if he makes that tonight. So he told the Balabatim that you cannot eat your chametz of Aaron Khan. He told my father's Balabatim that you have to wait until the next day until the middle of the next day to be sure that the chametz is brought back. So they're all angry at me. Because all the years, they can eat the chametz right away. And that year I messed them up. They had to wait until the middle of the day. Because Aaron Khan told the Balabatim, I don't know what they do. Aaron Khan said, I do not know the conditions that are stable. It's not my mechira.
So I was waiting to find out from Hillel David.
I don't know what he gave
but
you.
But he said the following day you could be insured of whoever he gave it to, he could. He said you could be insured that the next day.
I'm Carlos from the Gedel
Hadar. What's the case over here?
It's on record. What's the case in the Mishnah? Let's learn the Mishnah. So I just try to tell you over here. Look at Hashrocha Pratis over here. Tomorrow in the Erev Pesach, learning about the Mechivah to a guy, and the way the guy sells the chametz, the way you sell the chametz to a guy. What's the conversation? What's going on? Not finished. Just getting started. It's right after Marv. We're going to go for another 2 hours. Just getting started over here. Let's do the Mishnah. Now here the Shal over here is, if the guy owns the Yayin, when you give him the money, the Yid wants to sell Yayin to a guy. What's the problem?
So he gives the money.
As soon as the guy gives you the money, the guy owns the wine. So it's right away Yayin Esach. So the Shal is, when does it become Yayin Esach? If it becomes,
it's already his.
Right.
If it's already his, so then I'm not gonna take the money. That's the issue.
But I got the money already.
No! I'm sorry. Let's say the guy he measures. Before the guy gives you the money, the guy is going to touch the yayin. He's going to measure the yayin. And when the guy measures the yayin, he's touching the yayin. If the guy does not own the yayin before he touches it, if he touches the wine first, he makes my wine into yayin esach. So then I can't sell it to him. So I must make sure the guy owns it before I let him measure it. How does the guy own it?
Kesef.
As long as I take the money, then it's the guy's wine. Now you do whatever you want to the wine. But if I do not take the money first, and I let the guy start measuring the yayin, even if the guy is mashicha, let's say the guy pulls it. The guy goes and he pulls it. It's not good, because the guy is not coming mashicha. So therefore, it's still mine. If it's still mine, the guy touches it, it's Yayin Esach. Then I can't get the money.
Yeah.
Because it's Yayin Esach, and my Yayin Esach, I can't sell. That's the issue. So if you have to know klar, how to sell Yayin to a guy to make sure there's no Yayin Esach.
Yeah.